I'm going to read this morning from the Gospel of John, chapter 5, if you have a Bible with you. The Gospel of John, chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 1 to 3 and then verses 6 to 9. John, chapter 5. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem to the Feast of the Jews. Now there is in Jerusalem near the sheep gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" What would you say to that if you were sick? Yes. He didn't say that. He said, "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." And at once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. And may the Lord bless the public reading of his word. You know, this Bible presents there's all sorts of words. Exciting words, encouraging words, challenging, frightening, rebuking words. But what we have in this passage is surely the saddest words. Among the saddest words you'll find anywhere in the Bible. Here we have the words of a sick, dying man who lay at the pool of Bethesda for 38 years. And the belief was when the water started stirring, if they could get into the pool, they could be healed. And I want you to note his response to the Lord Jesus Christ. The saddest words, perhaps, in the Bible. He said, "Sir, I have no one." Now, let me explain that to you. In your Bible, it probably reads, "I have no man." That's not what it says. The word for man in Greek is ander, from which we get the word Andrew, if you're called Andrew here today. But the word here is anthropos, meaning mankind. What he's literally saying, I have not one single person in all of mankind to help me. No one of all mankind to care for me, to love me, to help me, to even know that I exist. That's a sad confession. That is a dark state to be in. And notice something, these were the words of a man in a crowd. It says here there was a great multitude of them, and sometimes the loneliest place you'll ever find yourself is in a crowd. This man felt a greatest sense of loneliness. And sometimes that can also be in a church. Do you ever get into a church and someone like me up here will say, "It's lovely to see you," and not another soul talks to you? They walk past you as though you were invisible. Sometimes the loneliest place for some people is in a church or in a crowd. I have no one. He was separated, cut off, alone. He had not one single human being to care for him, to love him, put themselves out for him, not as a duty, but out of love. Now, I tell you this, it must be a very dark place to be when you're not the object of anybody's love, the object of anybody's affection. That's a dark place to be in. In Psalm 142, verse 4, the Lord cried out, "I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me, no man cared for my soul. And that's the state this man found himself in. Now, let's put this in some perspective. Maybe nobody in here has reached that state. Yes, you know what it's been. You've been lonely at times or on your own. But I want to explain to you, the reality for many is this man's experience. It's a state many people find themselves in today. They have not one single human being to love them. I remember when I was a headmaster, well, I was a deputy headmaster at the time, I taught in the Wood Farm area, and we had a meeting in Newton Mearns High School. And I remember I was sitting next to this young woman. She was a social worker. Now, I didn't get on with social workers. In fact, I threw one out of school once. Let her back in. But oh, well, no social workers here today, are there not? But I remember sitting next to this young woman, and I said, "Where are you a social worker?" She said, "In Newton Mearns." I said, "That's a cushy job you've got, a social worker in Newton Mearns." I always remember her reply. She said, "The greatest problem in Newton Mearns isn't physical deprivation, it's loneliness. People here are dying of loneliness." And you know, in my day going around preaching, I used to go to churches, especially down the coast, where they'd always say to you, "Dan, after you've preached, would you come down to the old age home, or whatever it was, and give a word to the old people?" And the thing was, when you went to give a word to them, half of them were sleeping, just like in here. But you gave the word anyway. I saw them, wretched old people sitting there, and a person would say to me, that the nurse or whatever, they've never had a visit in 6 months, or this, that, and the next thing. They're left there on their own. And it is a reality for many people. And it's a major problem. In fact, I remember reading in the papers, one of the major causes of suicide in this land today is loneliness. I have no one. And I'll tell you this, any of you here today, including myself, could at some time find ourselves in that position. And you know the great danger is when you get to that stage as a substitute. You look for a substitute. Sadly, some try to seek a substitute in drink, others in drugs, overeating, or attend a lonely hearts. And it is one of the greatest sources of depression in this land of ours is loneliness. And this man says to the Lord, when he was asked, "Do you want to get well?" Instead of saying yes, he said, "I have no one." And sadly, many give up the will to live and commit suicide. And it is a major issue. But there is an answer here. This man cried out to the Lord, something that you and I could never say, "I have no one." You see, the solution is not a substitute in drink or drugs. The solution is the cross. I want to explain that. Why is Christ the answer to loneliness and him alone? Well, you see, he was the one person who endured total loneliness, total abandonment on that cross. We were speaking of that this morning. He knew the darkness of loneliness, the utter loneliness of the cross, separated in a measure from the presence of God, abandoned. "Father, why have you forsaken me?" The loneliness of the cross. Now I want to impress on you, friends, Christ alone hung on that cross and took our sins. There is no co-redeemer. There is no co-sacrifice, no co-mediator. You can never go around saying my salvation is due to Christ. And I remember, I think I've told you this before, many, 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 many years ago, I can't remember the date, it wasn't this Pope or that one, it was one of the popes was elected and he visited South America. And I can remember it, he was standing there on a balcony. I was watching this on the television. He was standing in this bit, and beneath him were thousands and thousands of people. And he held up this little effigy of a doll. And I wrote his words down in paper. He said, "We are redeemed through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ and his mother Mary." Friend, there is only one redeemer. You put a full stop after the name Jesus Christ. We are redeemed through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he experienced, we were trying to touch that this morning in a bit, the utter abandonment and loneliness of the cross. And here's the remarkable thing. He endured it, not for himself, but for you and I. He endured a loneliness. And I was saying this to Andy. A loneliness you and I will never, never be able to grasp. Can you imagine it? Hanging in a cross and taking upon your being all the sin of the world. That's loneliness. In Romans 5, it tells us he died for the ungodly. That's you and I when we were sinners, unsaved, while we were enemies. And the result was his righteousness was imputed to you and I. And you and I, when we put our faith in Christ, become one together. And from that point, no Christian can ever say, "I have no one." There may be times you'll be on your own, but never alone. And that's the beauty, the assurance, when we put our trust in Christ, when we receive him as our Savior, the one who knew loneliness more than any other person that had ever born. On my own, but never alone. For Christ in me is the hope of glory. And there's three words I want to bring to you this afternoon that assure us we can never, ever say, never, no Christian can ever say, "I have no one," once they receive Christ. The first word is a little word, forever. John 14:6 says, Jesus leaving the earth, going off to be with his Father, he says this, "I will pray the Father, and he shall give you the Comforter, that he may abide with you forever." Not just for a week or a year, forever. How people can talk of losing your salvation when you get verses like this? He will abide with you. He's speaking of the Holy Spirit, his leading, his strength, his presence. How long will the Holy Spirit abide with you? Forever. That is the language of deity. Hebrews 13:5, he says, "For he hath said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." I think I've explained this verse before. That's the most negative statement you'll find anywhere in the Bible. There are five noughts in it. If you read it literally, it reads like this. I will not leave you. I will not abandon you. Now, if you and I went around speaking like that in English, they'd think you were daft. I'm not going. You think that's the way a kid speaks. But in Greek, each not reinforces the one before it. And this is what it says. Now, the Lord's trying to make a point here. He's trying to assure us about his eternal presence. He says, I will not leave you. I will not abandon you. How much more assurance